Welcome to Core Bariatrics Podcast, hosted by bariatric surgeon Dr. Maria Ilyakova and Tammy Lacoste, bariatric coordinator and a patient herself. Our goal is building and elevating our community. The Core Bariatrics Podcast does not offer medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. On this podcast, we aim to share stories, support, and insight into the world beyond the clinic. Let's get into it.
Tammy, so we're in beautiful Orlando right now at a conference, and a couple of nights ago, we were at a restaurant bar. There was a lady that was called out who was a publisher. I just got a wild hair, and I dared you to tap her on the shoulder and strike up a conversation with her.
And then the cops were called because I punched her in the face. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, close. So how'd that go?
I did it only because you said, if you do this, you will not have to go salsa dancing. But I only got out of it for one night.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
how goes?
Yes, I did. I was scared beyond, like, I was probably shaking. My heart rate was
really?
Oh, my gosh. Because I've never, like, talked to someone really professional and said, like, this is what we're doing. This is, and especially, like, the book that we're working on is,
yeah,
we've just kind of, like, thrown stuff at it. It's good. But, like, we hadn't had yet discuss like exactly what
right
whatever anyways
right
so yeah I told her our situation and she said, oh yeah, our company is always looking for stories. And I'm like, that makes sense, because you know people want stories.
They do.
Yeah. So anyway, so I asked her if I could have her contact information, and she gave it to me. And she ended up apparently being a publisher at Penguin Random House Publishing. I had to Google that just because I didn't know, but you knew exactly who.
Well,
so,
yeah.
And so we're going to reach out there, but.
So Tammy, but do you think that that's something that you would have necessarily done a year and a half ago?
What do you think?
I don't
absolutely
know.
Not. Absolutely not. Because you even saw my hesitation, salsa dancing.
Yes.
Not so much. Honestly, not so much because I didn't have like the self-confidence per se, but I'm still absorbing this whole culture shock because I am not in Iowa.
No, you're not in Iowa.
I'm not in Iowa.
But then, Tammy, you took me line dancing and I had no idea white boys could dance like that.
Okay. Let's start from the beginning where you absolutely hated it the second you walked in.
Oh, no, not hated.
No. Your face. No. Your face cannot lie.
Well, you dragged me from salsa dancing.
Yes. Well, you took me out of my comfort zone.
That's true. And you took me out of mine.
And I liked it.
I liked it too.
All right. Yes.
So there we go. So we came to some good things.
Yes.
So yeah, tell me what today's all about.
So we're going to talk about positive and negative changes within like self-esteem and touch a little bit in relationships and stuff. All right. So positive or negative, go.
Positive or negative. So I want to know first, what's been one of the most positive changes that you've had that you didn't expect since having bariatric surgery?
Being willing to spark up a conversation and not even think about it and just go with it. Even at the line dancing bar and whatnot, I sparked up conversations with people I wouldn't spark up conversations with, because I didn't want to be recognized, or I didn't even want to be noticed. I didn't want, no.
Why was that?
Because I was big. I had a lot of self-esteem. Like, I did not have any self-esteem. I've told you this before, and you really were like, wow, what the heck? That when I, and this is a thing for people, when I walked into a room in a new place or whatever, I scanned the room to see if I was the biggest person in the room. That is so, but it was true just because, I don't know. I guess I don't even know why. I don't even know why. I guess maybe it gave
me
a little.
You could find out if you could crush people.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Probably not. Sorry.
And then I just hide. Like I,
That's wild. That's wild because I know
especially
you
knowing me.
Now.
Yep.
And you are smart.
Well, even before surgery.
Like you said, well, yeah, I did you know before surgery, but you were always so, and it's that curiosity inside of you. You are curious about yourself. You're curious about other people. And so I never perceived you as having any trouble speaking your mind or talking with other people or engaging in something. So it's wild to me to think of you as someone who had a confidence, trouble with your self-confidence.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And why do you think it's different now? Why do you think you can walk into a room and just spark up a conversation with someone?
Because I'm looked at as normal. I'm treated different. I'm 100% treated differently. Even between like my child's baseball moms, I am approached way more now. Why is that? Was I any less? Was I scary? Was I out?
That's why this scares me a little. And this is why it makes me sad sometimes too, because I feel that this is not fair. Ultimately, I wish our society were more progressive than this. I wish people were a little bit more open-minded than this, because you didn't change as a person between a year ago and now, or a year and a half ago and now.
No.
Fundamentally, you core values as a person didn't change.
No, but now I'm just more willing to share those core values words are hard. Challenge other people's morals and like values and
Yeah, because you did say like I look more normal now, and I'm like, actually, like statistically speaking, normal in the US is size over 14 as far as I understand for women on average, and for men I actually don't know men's sizes at all, I realize right now. But normal, even like what our perception of normal is, so not real, not true. And what is normal is a range, no matter what, right?
Right.
But you're not wrong at all in this sense. People definitely treat each other really differently depending on what their weight is.
But then I also think, like, am I now, which I know I am, but is it more now because I am more, like, confident in talking and, like, so maybe I'm more personable now. Where before I just, maybe I gave off that vibe of I don't want to talk.
Oh, interesting.
Like, I'm shy.
Well, and that brings up kind of this interesting idea, which I know sometimes if I'm going through something like, you know, a bad breakup or I injured myself or something like that, like I'm much more closed off to people than I would be if I were in a great mood and everything was going great and all that stuff. So it's sort of this whole you're not an island, and we don't live in a vacuum where nothing else affects us. Right. So maybe actually you did change in a way in the past year, year and a half, a lot, not that your core values did, but maybe like you said, like your ability to express.
Just my outside. But so I'm absolutely willing to put myself out there and challenge people's, like, not challenge, but I mean like have a debate conversation and being willing to stick up for my thoughts and feelings and whatnot. And, just how like at my new job, I mean, it's not really new because it was my first job out of college, respiratory college. And, so most of the people that are there are still were there previously. But I was not afraid of even being out of the like inpatient respiratory therapy atmosphere.
Sure.
I jumped right in, was not afraid to push people out of my way to treat a patient if we're in a trauma situation. Also, like when I went down to the ER, which I don't know if you've ever, no, you have been in the ER.
I have been in the ER.
I don't know. Those people are
we forget.
Rough.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're not very, like, the ER is their own community.
Oh, yes.
And
oh,
if
yes.
you come into that
it's community. It's a closed, gated community down there sometimes. Yes.
Yeah, so it was so funny that I walked into their little, like, nurse's station with all the doctors and stuff. And I'm like, hi, I'm Tammy. I'm the new respiratory therapist. Just wanted to let you know. Because nobody was introducing me. It's so weird. Anyways, because I think people just assumed everybody knew me because I was already there. But anyways, ready for this?
Tell me.
During my orientation, our CEO is very, very, very involved. He is rarely just sitting behind his computer.
Right.
You see him everywhere. And during our orientation, I was front and center, which another thing, I'm more willing to sit closer.
I noticed that even, so at this conference that we're at right now, you always want to sit in the front. And I am one of those really annoying people that love sitting in the front too. Because I'm just super, I'm so sorry. I own it though. This is who I am.
I love it.
And I love talking to people and things like that too. So it's so funny to me to see somebody else like that. Such a kindred spirit.
Because again, I did not want to be recognized. Because if you're in the front row, there's a chance that your speaker or presenter is going to call on you or like recognize that you're agreeing or disagreeing and like talk to you.
Right.
But anyway, so the CEO was giving just his talk about how they've grown and where they're going.
Right.
And I'm like, so how open are you about new things? And he's like, tell me more. And I said, what about a bariatric program? And he's like, well, yes. He's like, you got to find a surgeon for that. I'm like, I got one. And he really looked at me like, wait, what?
Tammy, I feel like you're my pimp and I'm just like, you're.
No, I'm sharing you with the world, literally. Thank you. Like, yes, you are a unique surgeon. And
you're,
I think
so
you
funny.
Know that.
You're so
and,
funny.
But anyways, and he's just like, let's touch base later. But I would have never done that.
What a great, I don't know. How does that feel?
I mean, it feels good.
Yeah.
And I don't go afterwards and be like, what was I thinking?
Because
uh-huh. there was times where, oh, uh-huh. I had all the confidence in the world when back then when I'd have a few drinks in me.
Oh, sure.
But I would
sure.
always go back and overanalyze it.
Uh-huh. And
but
regret.
Now I'm just like, nope, that was what it was.
Interesting. So, yeah, it sounds like there's some really strong positive things. Because being able to speak openly at work or being able to speak openly in new situations, it's just – it gives you that kind of like adaptability almost mm-hmm. to never be afraid of a situation, even if it's new or uncomfortable. You mm-hmm. always have yourself to rely on in a different way.
Mm-hmm. And I almost feel like, especially in career now, because mm-hmm. I started over and you know how that
right.
feels. I started over where I feel like I built myself up. Like everybody knew me at my old job.
Right.
And so,
right.
I mean, people know me here, but don't know like, how well I am, whatever.
Sure.
My capabilities,
sure.
honestly.
You started
they
the
honestly,
bottom of the totem pole.
They
yeah.
honestly
yeah.
probably still think I'm just a respiratory therapist,
sure.
but there's so much more to me.
Sure.
So I think that's another reason why I put myself out there is because I want people to know there's more to me.
Yeah.
And yeah.
You're and proud then, of the things you are.
How are you going to climb the totem pole if nobody knows who you are?
And that you're not willing to
uh-huh.
yeah, raise your hands, be involved,
mm-hmm.
volunteer yourself, put
yep.
yourself up, make yourself vulnerable.
Yeah. But then mm-hmm. I guess there are sometimes now, you know, I'm approaching doctors, like I'm approaching doctors and surgeons for you and stuff. But
yeah, that's great.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy.
That's great. And you realize everyone's a human being.
Oh, yeah. And some will love you. Some will hate you.
Well, but actually, I wonder, I don't know if you've thought about this, but what impact do you think this has on how you take care of patients?
I'm more willing to stick up for my patients, for one.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and I'm also way more willing to openly say to a patient that I don't know what I'm doing and
mm-hmm.
I'm going to find the answer for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a super strong, positive thing a person can do.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Like my first week back, we had a trach patient. So that's a long-term breathing airway in the neck. If people don't know, but I've not dealt with a trach in so long. And even then they were still very, very, they're still
kind of
rare,
scary. Yeah,
but they are scary because that's how they breathe. And
right.
it's a hole. And
right.
anyways, so, and she was an older lady and I don't know, but I honestly told her, I said, I don't want to hurt you. I don't want
mm-hmm.
to do anything that is going to compromise anything. I'm going to help you in any way possible, but that's why I'm going to have this person in with me because she is way more competent with tricks and I'm going to learn from her. And,
perfect.
But if anything does not feel right, if you are uncomfortable, just let me know. Like, so.
But what a mature way to handle that instead of pretending like you know what you're doing and
mm-hmm.
are flawless right
mm-hmm.
out the gate and things like that. You actually are saying, hey, I don't know this exactly perfectly well. I can do better
mm-hmm.
and I'm willing to ask for help.
Yeah.
And another person gets to feel good mentoring you and teaching
yeah.
you.
But I think when you are very, very insecure and have low self-esteem,
yes.
you don't want to give anybody more of a reason to think less of you.
Like more ammo, basically.
Yeah.
Because you think that they already think poorly. And so you don't want to give
oh, yeah.
them more.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. But I understand it completely. So like from my experience in this as
mm-hmm.
a resident, for instance, so
mm-hmm.
when I was in residency, already a doctor, but baby doctor, learning how to do surgery, learning how to do things, you're constantly being challenged with new
absolutely.
Things, with complexity.
Mm-hmm.
Things are, you know, every day, just a million things thrown at you. And you really, really, really want to prove to people that you know
yeah.
what you're doing,
right.
that you're competent, that you're capable.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, it's the first time that you're doing something
mm-hmm.
or it's the first time in this specific situation. And so you really, really have to have that humility
mm-hmm.
and maturity to say, I don't know how to do this,
mm-hmm.
but I'd like to learn. Will
yeah.
you show me? Will you help me? And it's safe. And
especially when it comes to patients.
Of course. And it's not only safer, but it actually makes you better.
Mm-hmm.
Because, right, like if you had just
more confidence.
Exactly. Because like if you had just not taken the time to ask somebody else to help you,
mm-hmm.
you still wouldn't know how to take care
mm-hmm.
of a trach as well as you could.
Yeah.
But you did.
Mm-hmm.
So now you can take care of a trach better.
Mm-hmm.
And the next patient, you're actually going to be able to do that without necessarily needing somebody there.
Oh, right. Absolutely.
How cool is that?
Absolutely.
That's a huge progression as a person, I think.
Absolutely. But there is some What's the other word?
Regression.
Regression.
Tell me about the, what do you mean by regression?
So even though I am more self, have more self-esteem, maybe sure. more self-confidence, like if it's hot outside, I'm wearing shorts. I don't mm-hmm. care if you see my loose skin from me losing sure. so much weight. It's on my mind, but I'm more confident in that aspect, but also mm-hmm. on the mm-hmm. contrary, mm-hmm. I am more self-conscious about being naked, mm-hmm. which has mm-hmm. made, and you heard my husband say, right. I was just on a call with him right. and I wanted you to hear it,
right.
that it has made our intimacy harder,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. which sucks.
Yeah. Well, can I interject here? Just yeah. Because we know each other pretty well now.
Oh, point. Yeah.
You had shared that you took some like boudoir photos, mm-hmm. which I personally go sexuality. I love people's sexual health.
I think yes, everybody should pro, do it because it was pro. So everybody should do one of those.
Yes. And what that is like you basically take sexy photos with a professional photographer and mm-hmm. things like that. And it's not necessarily nude or anything like that. It can be, it doesn't have to be,
nope.
But it's mm-hmm. made potentially like to share with your spouse just or just for your own
too.
Yeah. Like empowering all these things. But for whatever reason you do it. Mm-hmm. And you had mentioned how sexy and confident she made you feel mm-hmm. and those photos made you feel.
Yeah.
And I remember asking you if you would do that now to celebrate the changes your body has undergone. And you had kind of mixed response about that.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Well, no, tell me. What was that all about? I don't think that's ridiculous.
You can't hide loose skin. Mm. I mean, you can edit out stretch marks, but at least it's full skin. Mm-hmm. But even standing in front of her, even though she is very – I love her to death. The photographer, she makes everybody feel so comfortable and beautiful and whatnot.
Anna Marie Photography.
Yes, it is correct? In Brooklyn, Iowa.
There you go.
Yes. I love her so much.
Yes.
Can find her on Facebook.
She does not sponsor this episode. However, we really appreciate her.
Yeah, because she did our
photos, actually.
Our photo, yep.
That's right.
And she made you've never done a photo shoot.
I know.
But anyways, so sitting, I feel like just sitting in front of her, I don't know. I would be uncomfortable. I don't know. Because, okay, some of those sexy poses that she had me do,
sure.
like being on your hands and knees and your, you know, whatever.
Upside down and backwards. Yeah.
They're saggy skin.
Mm.
But what and saggy boobs.
Can you tell me more about the saggy? Like, why is that a big deal?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't know.
Do you feel like, are you judging yourself?
Absolutely.
Okay.
No, that's what's even worse is that, like, I am all like, you are beautiful. Like, yeah. there's nothing wrong with you.
Yeah.
And then I'm over here, like, I am better than I was
yeah.
about negative self-talk, but it's still definitely there.
I will say, like, I've dealt with is called in the language body dysmorphia, mm-hmm. which is sort of your body looks a certain way and other people may perceive it a certain way, but you personally don't see it that way. You see it differently mm-hmm. and you see it as being ugly or mm-hmm. not good enough or less than. And you don't see what the rest of the world sees. And,
right.
And I think a lot of people really, really struggle with that.
Absolutely.
From the body changes that happen.
Absolutely. Yep.
Do you think that it's easy to have your mind catch up to what your body's doing?
Is it easy?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Like, my mind is 100% still. I still go to plus size sections.
Oh, boy.
Granted, I like comfy clothes now.
Right.
But no, literally, like, I'm like, okay, let's need an extra large. Let's go to the dressing room. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, no, I don't need an extra large.
Wow.
Like, yeah, my mind's not there at all.
You did say there's like a store you can't even go to anymore.
Torrid.
Yeah.
For the most part, I cannot because, yeah, it is much, it's bigger stuff. And that was my store to go to.
Yeah. Cause you were asking me like, what store do you go to? And I realized I don't go to stores. I do everything online, which is terrible. Good. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
It is what it is, I suppose.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't even think people necessarily think that they're going to have changes where things you don't think about, little things will restructure mm-hmm. as you go.
You need to prepare to, even though you hate yourself, obese, potentially looking yourself in the mirror, you might hate looking at yourself in the mirror just for a different reason.
Yeah. Because of the changes
mm-hmm.
being.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it is hatred that you feel?
Hatred? Oh, no.
You said hate how your body feels or how your body looks.
Yeah.
You did say hate.
Okay, fine.
Well, I'm curious.
Hate is a strong word.
Okay.
I don't hate my body. My body is now doing things the way it's supposed to do things.
Yeah.
Internally it is. But also I can walk more. And you've made me walk so much lately.
I think your feet are just salsa. One pure blister at this point.
Yeah, let's not talk about shoes. Fudge.
I know. Well, yeah, actually, yes, we should have an episode on shoes. But I love shoes.
So I don't hate my body because it's working better now. I loved it enough to make a shocking change to it, and it's working better. I breathe better.
Sure.
I move better.
Sure. But self-confidence isn't just about those, like, rational things.
My brain is still 100% messed up.
Yeah.
And this is something, this is one of my big drivers for me approaching you or us talking about this on a podcast is that I can't find this on YouTube. How do I un-F my brain?
I wish I had an answer too. Right. I don't think there's anything.
We're going to ask Lydia, our mental health provider, how do I un-F my brain?
I think there's a process going on here. I don't think there's a fast forward through this.
No.
I also don't necessarily think there's anything wrong with a lot of this at all or any of this necessarily, because people's bodies change over time, whether aging or whether it's pregnancy or whether it's a medical condition or whether it's surgery or whether it's this.
Mm-hmm.
And or whether it's even like working out. So like I like working out and there's certain, kinds of activity that I do and I get muscle some places that I love it. Mm-hmm. And then there's other places that I'm like, oh, I don't love that looks necessarily.
Look like a man.
I have like,
you don't look like a man.
Well, thank you. That's very kind. Okay.
That's why a lot of women, of women do not weight train is because they're afraid to look like a man.
Correct. And and I have definition in some places. It's like, you get the judgment sometimes too, by the way, because people still think that sometimes that muscle do not belong in a woman, which clearly I don't believe that. But you're right.
There's probably stigma out there saying that women shouldn't be surgeons either, I would imagine. That's a whole nother
episode. That's too bad. Too bad, so sad. But the idea being I don't think there's anything wrong. There's nothing wrong with feeling the way that you feel about your body and it not being perfect.
As long as you're feeling those feelings though.
And being honest with it and addressing it.
Mm-hmm.
Are there other things that are challenging about your self-esteem or self-confidence that you've gone through in this process?
Well, my self-confidence, even though it's a positive for me.
Sure.
Comes off as a negative to other people. I actually very openly, and I apologize to my sister-in-law, who used to be my bestest friend. And we've gotten closer, obviously, since I've had bariatric surgery. We have so many kids, so that's hard. but when she had bariatric surgery, which I supported her so much because I took her to her, I think there was a 1 week follow-up.
Yeah.
Thought she was crazy that she was literally eating from this 1 ounce cup, whatever. But no, I supported her 100%. But then she started losing her weight and she started getting more confident, started getting more positive. Mm-hmm. And she would post things on Facebook, and she still does. Good for her. And I do too now. Saying
stickers, by the way. Sticker addiction.
If you can't love me for me or whatever.
Sure.
I don't need you in my life.
Right.
I thought that was toxic positivity. Mm. And I openly said that to people. So yes, I was mean girl in her. Sure. Recently I opened up to her and I said, you know what? I said this about you, but now I understand.
Now you feel it.
Now I understand because I'm also dealing with it.
Yes.
Dealing with people thinking that my positivity is fake or toxic. And it's just no, I just feel so stupid good. I can cry about how I feel. So
I think that's pretty insightful actually. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you're basically saying, I realized that I was judging people for their expression of happiness, their expression of self, because I didn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know how to feel that or didn't feel that at the time.
Yeah.
That's pretty deep.
So I tend to, came off as, and I came off, probably now come off as toxic positivity or self-centered. Yes, I am self-centered because I prioritize myself.
But the thing is, I think we have a culture that's very weird on this self-centered, this ego thing and all this, because we're not allowed to talk about ourselves or be proud of ourselves, but yet we're supposed to have enough self-confidence to to take care of issues and bootstrap ourselves out of everything and be responsible people. You can't really have it both ways. You do have to have some level of self-confidence to be a responsible person. Right. For yourself and your family and your friends and what you do for work and all those things. Right. So you have to have some self-confidence. And it's super healthy to have self-confidence.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's threatening to people.
Totally. And it's often threatening if you don't feel self-confident. Because again, like, I'll just go back to in a personal state where if I don't feel good, mm-hmm. It's not healthy at all, but all of us, I think, naturally kind of see other people being happy and you're like, oh, I want to be happy. Why are they so happy?
And right? Also, like, what's crazy is like, I sometimes am just like, I feel like I haven't changed a whole lot sometimes. Like, as you said, like, my morals are still there. I feel like my whatever is, and then people have said, you've changed so much. And then I ask how, and they just don't even know really, they give a roundabout answer. Like, oh, so sure. I don't think they even understand. And I think it really just is geared around like, I'm going to prioritize myself.
Right.
I'm going to be selfish.
Right.
I'm going to be selfish.
Right. Yep. And being selfish in a way that helps you. It's sort of like when the mask comes down in the airplane mm-hmm. and you're told you have to put the mask on yourself first before you put it on your kids or your neighbor or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
And
you
do. And it's so hard.
It's hard to wrap your head around.
Yeah. And I imagine as a parent, it's hard to do that. Mm-hmm. I think as an adult, it's hard to do that. As a woman, it's hard to do that. And I feel this, I don't know, like I really, really share that feeling a lot with you, Tammy. Mm-hmm. And so I'm glad because like I'm going through a little bit of a rough time right now myself and you've been a huge source of support and friendship for me mm-hmm. right now. And I really appreciate it because it would make me so much more insecure and so much just vulnerable to my emotions in a way that thankfully I have support like you and friends and things. So thank you.
Well, I suggest everybody go, if you're having a bad day, go on to ChatGPT.
Oh yeah. Right. We found this today. This is great.
Write me a bio. You put your name, what you do, what your hobbies are, any accomplishments, anything. That thing will hype you up.
It is hype. It is your hype man. It is nuts.
Sidetrack. Sorry. It is a good hype man.
It is. That's true.
True. Some of my insecurities have gone away. Mm-hmm. My husband's insecurities have gotten higher.
Okay, so people around
my self-confidence.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sometimes that can cause some fights. Like, luckily, he's like, now I don't bash myself as much anymore. Sure. Like, I don't have anything to wear. I look ugly in this. I'm too fat for this. These jeans don't look good. And then I just stay home.
Yeah.
But, and I've even said this to a patient's husband.
Yeah.
I read the room. I knew the people I was talking to. Our patients are our family. And because I wanted the husband to know this, he was very, very small. He is a marathon runner, apparently. I always had pictures of my husband and my kids behind my desk.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, so you see my husband over there? He's a pretty good looking man. Like, he's very attractive.
Yeah.
He looks like he'd be a very, very secure man.
Yeah.
But he's not. And so I said, just be prepared.
Well, he's human. It's not that he's not secure. It's that he's human and you're changing.
Well, yeah, no, but yeah, right? Yeah, he's got some work to do.
Everyone's got this. Like, and guys, we do not talk about the fact that guys have as much insecurity as women.
Absolutely, no.
And it is not like, it is super okay and it is super normal. And again, one of the things I wish we would talk about more,
mm-hmm.
guys have feelings too.
Oh yeah, yeah? Absolutely. And so I told that husband that you need to mentally prepare yourself for your wife, who is going to have bariatric surgery, whom is not everybody's cup of tea, like physically attraction, not that she shouldn't be, but everybody has their cup of tea, might be more people's cup of tea after she loses her weight. Like, I've been approached more in a bar now in the past year than I have my whole life. I don't know. But again, maybe I'm more approachable. But that makes my husband really, really insecure that I'm going to find someone else.
And you've expressed how much you love this person, how much you are dedicated to this person no matter what and all those things. And it's funny because you're right. Like, this person didn't change, but because you changed, right, it kind of uncovers some things for some of the people around you, whether it's friends or family or others. It's so interesting because they didn't change, but they're going through the change with you.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we're trying to convince my husband to be on the show here.
Yeah, right.
And obviously we've
this isn't helping, I'm sure, but hopefully we'll get him one day.
No, we asked him, I needed Maria to hear out of his mouth that it was okay for me to talk about our struggling sex life. And he's like, yeah, it's true. Like, I'm like, wow.
You guys are so crazy, I think, in a positive way, because, again, taboo subject. People do not want to talk about that.
Right.
Even in therapy sessions, people don't want to talk about that because it is so personal and so rough sometimes. I cannot believe you guys have the balls to do that. I'm so like, I'm so thankful because, again, I think when we talk about those things, we normalize what other people want to talk about.
Absolutely.
And we normalize what other people are experiencing. What we're experiencing is what other people experience too.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think through this experience, I have gotten to share things I normally wouldn't.
Wouldn't have. And I'm proud of you too.
Well, thanks. And I think you definitely have. And I think it takes a lot of guts to do that.
Well, I just want to give other patients the content that I did not have.
Yeah.
I wanted to know people. Yeah. I wanted to hear about people having mental health issues because I had huge risk factors.
Right.
I have witnessed some, you know, mental health issues after bariatric surgery that I wanted to try to prevent. And
definitely.
So there was nothing out there. Luckily, our mental health provider is
so great.
She is. Oh, I can't wait.
Well, actually, multiple of ours are great. Absolutely. We've got some really great people.
And so another like negative is that obviously bariatric surgery is an emotional roller coaster journey. And I feel like myself and my husband previously very, very emotionally immature.
Okay.
No emotional intelligence because we were raised in households that kids are seen and not hurt.
Okay.
You know, and you can't have big feelings at all.
Right. No space for that.
Right. Because, nope.
I'm from the Midwest. We're in a Russian background.
And so now with my journey and, you know, just becoming so much more educated and how to help myself and whatnot, I feel like my emotional intelligence and emotional maturity awareness is so much there.
Sure.
Meanwhile, my husband is still, we always joke, even his mom jokes that like all the men were raised by werewolves. Like,
oh, I love it.
You know,
well, sometimes I feel like I was raised by a werewolf. No, condolences to my mom. Actually, I know that sounded really not how I wanted it to sound. It's just that, you know, I think we all, we act out of a lot of defensiveness sometimes, myself personally, very much calling myself out on that. It's really tough to be self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, Tim, like one of the things that I was so impressed by, and I did, you are right, I saw this change in you over the past year, year and a half, was that you did become more self-aware. And out of that awareness, you were able to help other people more because you were able to create structure in our program and an experience that was safe for other people, that was honest, that was a witness to people's difficulties and the positive, because people need to be witnessed for both, right? The positive.
Absolutely.
Right?
But kind of rounding about with like me becoming more emotionally mature and more self-aware. And so I have better self-regulation. So like the patience I have with my kids is just so much more because I have learned that like kids are still learning how to express their emotions.
Yes.
I just learned how to, and I still explode sometimes, but I cannot expect my kid who is having a hard, big, big feeling to not scream on the top of his lungs, and no other person should.
Right.
If sometimes I can't even handle that.
Right.
And so my husband he will openly say this, that his patience level is lessened. He actually does very, very well. And if he does something, he is self-aware that he did not like that. And I'm very proud of him that there was a time with our son that our middle son is a spitfire. Everybody loves him, but boy, is he.
Work.
He's the one that taught me that all kids cannot be parented the same.
Uh-huh.
And I can never judge a parent for a screaming child. Or whatnot.
Right.
So
until you have one.
He's my little saving grace.
Yes.
But there was a time when he was having very big emotions. He is very defiant. He is very, he is not afraid of you at all, ever.
Sure.
And so my husband overreacted a little bit. And I saw it on his face the second that he just went a little overboard. He felt horrible for it. And I'm proud of him for that. But he's still working.
Yeah.
So I'm still a little ahead. And so sometimes
there's a clash sometimes of that. Either.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, and I communicate better and I want more feelings. Blue card blue colored men have no, like, they show no emotion, well, right? They're because they're stigmatized. Yeah, they're absolutely stigmatized. But guess what? I want your emotions because right. I want to know what's wrong with you.
Right.
I want to help you.
You know what's cool is in our program, a lot of times spouses would come together. So mm-hmm. we would have somebody who was doing surgery and then their spouse would come and they yes. were always welcome. I love think that. That's super great.
My husband hates hospitals.
That's fair. You should hate hospitals. One of those where you don't want to be in one. I get it. Believe me, I love my jam, but it is not most people's right. jam. But the idea being like when people are going to go on this journey together, it can be really helpful for everyone to know what's expected, what's not expected, what's involved, how to get help, how to help each other. I remember actually one of our patients brought her husband in to one of her last visits, and the husband was super skeptical about this bariatric surgery thing. And he was like, I don't know, and all of this. And I've heard the divorce rates are higher and all this. Mm-hmm. And I said, you're not wrong. And I asked, and I even mentioned, I said, I'm so proud that you're here mm-hmm. because the fact that you're asking these questions, mm-hmm. that you're worried about it, that you're here mm-hmm. with her, that you're showing up, that says more than anything else possibly could about the fact that you love each other.
Absolutely.
That you're here for each other, that you want to understand what you're both getting into mm-hmm. and that it is ultimately up to you to decide how to grow together
yeah.
through this new experience.
But that man was showing some emotional intelligence of like, this yes. is how I feel and I'm telling yes. you how I feel.
Yes.
Where my husband, I could, and he will agree with this. I can say we're doing whatever we're doing. And he's like, right.
Well, you know, everyone's yeah. on their, everyone's on a different journey.
Absolutely.
Everyone's on a different journey, but yeah. it's tough. And I think the self-confidence changes that the patients have through this, that people have going through this, you do have to remember that other people are going on this journey with you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're not going to be on the same step that you are, like you're saying.
Oh, absolutely. So let's end on a more positive note. Because we just got deep and ugly.
We did.
Yeah.
Whew. All right. Let's get out of there.
I will say my husband absolutely loves that I have more energy and willingness to do social activities. Though yeah. he said, I was not ready for just the flip of the switch.
Sure.
Like, literally, sure. you would much rather just go to a dive bar and hang out with our friends.
Sure.
Now, I'm going to be dragging that boy to line dances.
Yes. Like yes.
But that's going to go out of his comfort zone so much.
Yes.
But yeah. Oh, yeah. He is not ready for the willingness there. But again, he also does like that I'm more confident and don't put myself down as much. But right. I feel like my confidence has hindered his self-confidence. Mm. Now I feel he comments on his weight more than he ever has.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, he's got a little more of a dad bod, but his BMI, I guarantee, not that BMI is whatever, sure. but he is a very...
Yeah, he's healthy.
He has a healthy weight.
Definitely. Well, and this isn't necessarily to end on this note. We will actually do a separate podcast or maybe multiple about men in mm-hmm. bariatrics and men in weight.
We're going to have someone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I think that this is super under discussed. The fact that men also have body and self-esteem issues mm-hmm. That are really tied around weight and the same things that women go through too. We just don't really see them very mm-hmm. often in our offices. And we don't mm-hmm. really talk about it the same way. But I hope to create a space for people to talk about that too.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe my husband will open up a little bit more of like what I think he's asked so many questions while I've been on this.
Well, he just listened today for the first time to the podcast. Any of the episodes?
Mother trucker.
Well, hold on. Before, no more.
I'm not bashing.
No more crapping on him for first. Second. This guy listened.
He did.
Okay.
And he's asking me, why is there only two up?
Oh my goodness. Look at that. You have some thirst on your hands. I love it. No, but he listened because he was like, I learned this and this and this. I didn't know this and that. And how cool is that? How cool
is
that?
But also, were you listening when I was teaching? Yes. I'm not cracking at him for him.
Okay,
no,
look.
He's done a lot of things.
Yeah. And adults take multiple times to hear something before it becomes absorbed. We're all like that.
I mean, he is so supportive because how many... Husband, okay, he is skeptical right. about all the things.
Right.
But how many husbands are like, oh, you're spending your time, your day off, like right. working on a podcast?
Right.
Where's the benefit of
like,
this?
What are you doing with your life? Also, I feel a little the same way too. But but I think it's really cool of you to talk about some of the difficult things because it isn't just all roses. It isn't just all like, oh, my self-confidence is amazing and everything's perfect and I'm healed. Yeah. That's not how it goes.
Yep.
And other people are going to go on this journey with you and they need to understand it's mm-hmm. going to be ups and downs.
Mm-hmm. Like there are people out there looking for this information of wanting to know what to prepare for.
Yeah.
Because honestly, if I knew this was such a mental
yeah.
honestly, I feel like most of this journey is a mental journey. Like, yeah. I would have dug even deeper with therapy, right. honestly.
Yeah, that makes
I've
sense.
I've done a lot of self-help. And so, sense. But no, yes.
That makes sense. Well, Tammy, thanks for going on a journey with us today into mental health and self-confidence. I hope you guys all listen to our podcast and subscribe and listen to the next one. Find us on a lot of different platforms.
Instagram, Corberry.
TikTok, I think.
We're getting there.
Anyway, if you have any ideas, if you have any thoughts, we would love to hear them. But hope you are safe and happy out there. We'll see you next time.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye.